Greetings and welcome to SD Bible Study Church and SDBibleStudy.org. I am pastor and teacher Alan Lewis Silva, and today we will be reading from the book of Revelation in the section of the Bible which I call the Apostles, being a group of writings that seems to be organized in that way. These are the writings of the apostles. The six sections of the Bible, as I've identified them, would be the Torah, the first five books of Moses, the Torah, the histories, which is the longest, it's a huge section, the wisdom books, a shorter section, but one of the most interesting ones for me personally. The prophets, also a very large section with numerous smaller books of these prophets, and then huge books of other prophets. It's a very, also another very large section of the Bible. It's one of the most difficult ones to read. It's one of the ones people don't like to read a lot of because, just my observation, because it's a little bit different understanding, a little bit of it's a little bit maybe harder to understand. There's a lot of references to geography and to the types and the symbols of the Bible and to patterns, and it is also prophecy, so it's still taking place, and there's some history involved, and there's just a lot of the Bible. Even things that might be easier to understand on the surface level, there's going to be things that God will reveal those things to you, and unless He reveals it, you'll never find it. So, and sometimes He reveals it to other people, and you hear teachers after God's own heart. And so I've learned a lot from some different teachers, mostly online, but not only online, but that is why, when I was thinking about doing this church and how to do it, and whether I would even be the one to do it, or I don't know if I should do it or what I should do, it made me think there's really something about online and the information being presented and how it could reach people, and it just felt like this is where I should be going, what I should be doing, and the best way to be effective in this regard. Just things, we all do our part, so anyway. And then the other section would be the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus Christ, and the four Gospels, and then the Apostles. So this is the Apostles. Now this is the second chapter of the book of Revelation, the Revelation of St. John the Divine, and this is chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read it, and then we might have some commentary. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. Man, the book of Revelation, this is one powerful book. So, I can't presume to cover everything in this chapter, but I'll try to cover a few things. Jesus, one thing we need to know is that Jesus cares for his churches. He cares for his assembly. He cares for his congregation. He cares for the people who are his. He loves us. Even though I have a few things against thee, you know, he says that to his churches. That's, you know, it's about our attitude. We need to be humble. We need to not lord ourselves over others. We have enough problems of our own to deal with before we start making other people, you know, fall. Shouldn't do that. So, this is, he cares for our church. As part of the way he cares for us is he brings things out in our life that we need to work on. But he does it in a way in which he doesn't leave us. He never abandons nor forsakes us. But he does do that. Especially if you're doing wrong. If you look at the example of Jezebel, here in line 20 of chapter 2, he says, you know, I have a few things against him. And then in line 21, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. And then he says, in line 22, they will go into great tribulation, her and all the ones that she's committing adultery with, unless they repent of their deeds. And then finally, you know, line 23 is a number for death. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am the one that searches the reins and the hearts. Now, the reins is what constrains us. It's what holds us back. We have a pleasure principle. We have a pain principle. Sometimes we want to do things that we think will give us pleasure, but it gives pleasure to our flesh, but not pleasure to God. And so, not always are these things opposed to each other, but sometimes they are. And, he searches those reins. He tests those things. He does it as much for those who are saints as those who are lost. And this is what he does. He gives everyone according to their works. So the important thing is to repent and to hear God's voice in what we're doing. Remember that God knows us, that he cares for us. If you ignore those things, he will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But he knows that people who are his, that they will repent, even if they just... Repenting can even be, in some ways, it can even be remorse for the thing that you've done. You feel so bad about it, right? But it would be so much better to not do the wrong thing, which would cause someone to feel remorse. It would be much better to just be in a quiet place, just be quiet and just be with God, and not do the thing that ought not to be done. And that would be preferable. That would be better. It's profitable not to sin. It's profitable. It gives you a profit. There's a reward. There's something that's accrued. There's a skill, you know, being able to overcome something. It's a skill to be able to avoid sin. If you throw away the Torah, if you throw away the teachings of God, how would you even know what's a sin and what's not a sin? You would just be going by your flesh, and what feels good must be good. But that's not the case. There's a number of bad things, even in the sense of disease and stuff, that people can get from doing what feels good to the body. It might feel good for a moment, but it will feel much worse for a much longer time, you know, with certain things that, you know, you can imagine. In more than one way, you know, in lots of ways. So there's a lot of truth in the Bible, even for skeptics, even for people who are not necessarily, you know, religious. There's a lot of truth in the Bible, and to be taken and understood literally and figuratively. We see the challenges of the churches. Now, in the book of Revelation, there are a lot of people, I studied some people's understandings of the view of Revelation, and how they've interpreted things, and maybe they're right, but there's certain things I agree with, some things I don't. I'm glad that I studied it. I'm glad that I learned from people's views because it helped inform me about many things. But some people say that it's like the seven churches or like seven ages of the church. And I don't see that. I don't read in Revelation where it says this is one church age, this is another church age or epoch or era. I don't read that. I don't see where it says that. All I see is that they're listed in order, but that doesn't mean a chronological order. Because from my own observation, I've seen that the problems in these churches, the Church of Ephesus, the Church of Smyrna, the Church of Pergamos, the Church of Sardis, the Church of Thyatira, the Church, you know, all these, the seven churches, these problems are just as much of a problem now everywhere. These problems are like problems that people have. Like someone can have a problem with their hearing, somebody can have a problem with their smell, somebody can have a problem with their vision. It's still problems affecting the body. So I don't see it as different church ages. And I think that opens a door to understanding that a church age view really closes and limits. So that's my impression of it. Leave it for you to decide what God is leading you to receive. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. Amen. We also see in some of these churches, we see a problem of the Nicolaitans. And Nicolaitans is basically, that word means, is it means ruling over the laity, ruling over the people. And so we have this impression now with modern day churchianity and, you know, religion, where these religions control people's minds. They really have a great power when people start giving them money and feeding them with their money to basically control people's lives. Now, it's not always harmful how this is done. It's not always, you know, bad that this is done. I'm not saying that. But it's very dangerous, and it's not something that I want to do. It's not something that I see actually... Well, it is something that I see warned about in the early church writings. So, you know, take that for what it is. It's not always a bad thing to have a structure, but it's just not something that I wanted to be doing. So I think that's a danger, is this Nicolaitan attitude. Nicolaitans means to rule over the laity. You're ruling over these people. These churches have become edifices that have become crustified, where now there's a power elite, and they have an influence. This was not always a bad thing. You know, the church, even from the beginning, as I'm reading in Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History, even from the beginning, the church had, you know, bishops and episcopates and... you know, it did have some order in how they did things, but also the early church was very communally aligned and very oriented towards taking care of the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, keeping things in common. They had like communes, like communal structures. They were doing charity work before charities existed, before government welfare programs existed. The early church, the early Christians, were caring for each other, even as the Torah indicates that we're supposed to be doing that. You know, it's even an earlier idea than the Christians, except that the Jews, over time, had become more racist, where it was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt, but by the time they had gone into Babylon, which was a traumatic event, they really started... being very racist against anyone who was not Jewish. Keep in mind that Jewish is only a term that applies to Judah, although it is an occlusive term where it does apply to all the tribes, because Judah is the head. It is the king comes from Judah. Jesus comes from Judah. From David is Judah. Right? So, I mean, you're known after your king, right? So it is an inclusive term, but it can also be an exclusive term. It can also be a racist term or a prejudicial term. And it's harmful. It's harmful to have an exclusionary attitude. It harms yourself, and it also harms the people who are excluded, who could otherwise offer the gifts and the talents that God gave them, since every life has value, to have a role in some fashion or form that God would approve of. And you just have to, I mean, you have to pray about a lot of things. A lot of people just, religion and rules are sort of like an escape route instead of actually listening to God, who might tell you something, you weren't expecting to hear that. I mean, God does. So, you know, the times that we've listened to God, sometimes we have heard some things that we weren't expecting to hear. You know, and sometimes those are some nice things that we would otherwise have not known unless we stopped to listen. You know. So Nicolaitans is a problem, and also adultery, fornication, the sin of Balaam. There's a background to that. Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before Israel. Now, this is a reference to the Torah in the book of Revelation. The beginning gives a view of the end. The end gives a view of the beginning. Jesus mentioned something like that. And anyway, the story of that is, if you're not familiar with it, is Balaam was a soothsayer, and Balak wanted to hire him to curse Israel as they were coming into the promised land. He couldn't do it because God had blessed them. So every time he tried to curse them, he would open his mouth and with a view of cursing them, and what came out was this amazing blessing. Three different times Israel was blessed. Not just Israel according to the flesh, but everyone who believes in Jesus Christ becomes spiritually part of Israel. And for all other matters, you know, not talking about Israeli, but, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about them either, but you know, Israelite in, you know, the biblical sense. So he could not curse them. But instead, he knew that God does have a Torah. There are certain rules that are spiritual power if you can apply them, and also spiritual hindrances if you ignore them. This is the importance of studying the Torah. So what happened is he said, well, I can't curse them, but if they leave God's protection, then you can get them. And so what happened is the Moabites, according, you know, as I understand the Bible, the Moabites sent out their daughters and their wives, you know, representatives of their gods, with food that they had sacrificed to their idols. So it had this demon energy in it. And then they went and they were being promiscuous and having sex with all these Israelites who thought, oh, great, they're letting us win. They're letting us conquer them. They're giving us this food. It feels like we're winning. Feels great, you know. Oh, cool. Like now they're just giving us our women to be our wives and stuff. Except they don't know this woman is actually somebody else's wife. And this thing that you're doing is actually fornication and prostitution, because you're selling something. They're not coming to to serve you peaceably and to be your tributaries. No, they're actually causing you to fall. And then that opened this whole door where, at the time, it ended up in over 20,000 Israelites being killed by God himself because they had become impure from the sin of falling into seduction of the enemy. And that is what Jesus Christ himself is warning about to these churches. Do not let this happen to you in the last days. Yahweh rules. Jesus Christ is Lord. And may Jesus Christ please bless you.